Good morning. You have tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I am Jim. No, I'm Jack, and that's Jim across from me there.
There's two Jims in the studio. You are outnumbered.
I had a 2 out of 3 chance of getting the name right, and I
at least you didn't say that's Jack.
Nope.
That's good.
Yep.
The other Jim is Jim Zuberbühler. Jim, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Jim is the race director of the Long Bridge Swim and the chairman of the board of directors, but we are going to be talking to Jim and later on a
soon,
little...
Soon. Yeah,
soon talking to Jim about
and
the Long Bridge
Hannah
Swim.
And Hannah Combs from POAC.
There we go. And that's a show. That's a full hour. That ought to get us through.
Well, we've got some crucial weather coming up. I didn't bring up the hazardous whatever during the Democracy Now, but you can go into it in full depth.
I can.
Go for it.
I will jump into the weather. Before I do, let me pull up that hazardous, click on this little hazardous link here.
What happens when you do that? I've been afraid.
So you get, well.
I have fear.
There's a, you get the detailed forecast hazardous weather outlook. It looks like a bulletin. Like it looks like something that comes over the ticker, in the stock ticker or whatever, the news ticker. Let me tell you the hazardous weather outlook for portions of North Idaho.
Outlook?
Oh, Northeast Washington and Southeast Washington. Isolated to scattered thunderstorms will be possible this afternoon. A few storms could briefly become strong, producing hail and gusty winds. Heavy rainfall will likely accompany any storms and could lead to localized flooding. My neighbor across the street is currently... has fully stripped his roof and is currently redoing it. And I saw that he was up pretty early this morning
putting floaters on the building.
So he may have heard that forecast already. But there is only a slight chance, a 20% chance of thunderstorms. Otherwise, the high today is 78 degrees. A slight chance of thunderstorms and then partly cloudy tonight. Tomorrow, there's about a 40% chance of precipitation, and the high is 79. Again, thunderstorms are possible, and that continues through Friday night. Isolated thunderstorms on Saturday with a high of 80 degrees and 56 on Saturday night. Sunny and 80 on Sunday.
What other profession could you get by with using words like slight and possibly and briefly and still draw a paycheck?
It's very imprecise, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and there's no penalty for being wrong. I want to give the weather forecast for the D.C. area, like I always do every Thursday. Token nod to my sister and brother-in-law, who, because of the wonders of technology, they can say, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and boom. Washington, D.C. area, 80 now. We're going to work up to 80, but they are 80 now. But they're 3 hours difference. So right now it's 8, it's 11 o'clock there. Bright and sunny, high of 87 expected.
Who do you think is there a weatherman who was who was worse than his competitors and got fired for it?
I don't know if one can be worse. I think what you find with weather folks is they do gimmicks. They have gimmicks, and that's what gets attention. But I'm tired of talking about weather people. Let's talk about Memorial Day.
Can I contribute to the weather conversation?
Yes, jump in, Jim.
Well, especially since the Long Bridge Swim last year was...
2 years ago.
Mm. 2 years ago due to weather.
Mm-hmm. Well, just wind. So wind. I just read a piece the other day, Jack, that today's 10-day forecast is the equivalent of a 3-day forecast in terms of accuracy 10 years ago. That's how much weather prediction has improved in 10 years.
Oh, really?
Wait. Yes. One more time. Today's 10-day weather forecast is as accurate as a 3-day weather forecast?
Was 10 years ago. They're really? That much more accurate.
The science of meteorology has come along that far.
Yeah.
No way.
I can't believe it.
That's really remarkable.
So we're going to come up to a day where the classic gag about the weatherman always being wrong, or you know, who you know, you can't trust the weather, whatever. Where that's no longer going to be true.
Maybe we're just going to know. Maybe not as funny.
Yes. Well, we're just going to know what it is.
Wasn't last weekend, I know this, you know, asking us to go back a few days, but wasn't rain in the forecast like Friday and Saturday, and it never appeared? But maybe it was 80% chance of rain, and I was in the 20% area.
Yeah, we didn't get much weather, and actually it was really nice on Sunday afternoon and Monday. Well,
no, it was blustery. Talk about wind. If the Long Bridge Swim was held on, it would be canceled on Sunday.
That's right.
Well, let's get talking about this event coming up on August 3rd of this year, the Long Bridge Swim, 25th annual, James.
That's right. It's a big deal this year. Hard to believe.
How is the Long Bridge Swim going to celebrate it, this being the 25th?
Well, we anticipate that we'll probably have our largest number of swimmers ever. The word is out that it's our 25th. So registrations are up, and we anticipate that they'll continue to be up until the swim.
What's the highest number you've had previously?
That's a good question. I should have looked that up before coming. We've had more than 750 registrations a number of times.
Whoa.
We've had over 700 swimmers a couple of times. I won't be surprised this year if we have more than 750 actual swimmers.
Wouldn't that be something? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, for someone out there in the world of listening, what is the Long Bridge Swim and what does it do? And I think a very important service to the community in terms of where the funds go.
Sure. Well, for many years, for the first, in fact, 15 years of the swim, it was a community event. It still is a community event, a one-day event. Eric Ridgway, the founder, created it as a celebratory, fun event, and it still is that. We have, oh gosh, these days, 250 volunteers who help put the event on. We have a core volunteer staff of about a dozen people who work year-round to plan the event. It's a great day. It's a 1.76-mile swim across Lake Pend'Oreille. We start on the south end and then swim north, finishing at Dog Beach. A lot of music and food and celebration. It's just great. Many people are competitive about the swim. Many are not, and many are first-timers. We have a very sophisticated safety apparatus set up, so it's a really safe thing to try to do, particularly if you're a first-timer. 10 years ago, we started a swim lessons initiative, which is what you're referring to, I think, Jim. Mm-hmm. So we're in our 10th year. We now serve about 1,000 children a year. Our mission with Long Bridge Swim is to have no child get past third grade without learning how to swim. And in fact, just yesterday, Tiga dropped off the Washington School third grade thank you card, which is a booklet about 25 pages long with a thank you letter from each child who has participated in the swim, and then a page of photographs. And she's done that every year. And she was one of our earliest supporters. She's the third grade teacher there. And she has just been wonderful, and she just happened to have come into my office. I should have brought that in for you guys to see, because the kids illustrate with those thank you letters. You know, they draw things about being in the water and for their three-day class that they come over for. So it's just a great, great thing.
I cannot emphasize enough the importance of, especially since we live around water, the need for children to feel comfortable about around water and skill set in water, that can't begin early enough, can it?
No, it can't. And we put a lot of thought into how to organize this program. I spent about a year doing research to try to sort out what's the appropriate age level to do this. So we didn't just pull that out of the ether. Third grade is an ideal age to do this. So we now have every elementary school in the school district participating, as well as other schools outside of the LPUSD district. We also serve the homeschool academy.
Oh, that's
kids.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Special education kids. In fact, the special ed kids at Farman are one of our longest served groups. I think that program's been in place 9 years. They come every Monday.
Incredible. Incredible. So. Let's go back to the Long Bridge swim. And what sort of skill set? I'm sitting out there in Radio Land with my third cup of coffee and going, oh, that could be interesting. But gosh, what kind of skill set should a person considering doing a Long Bridge swim have?
Sure. That's a great question, Jim. I think it's really important to be a strong swimmer. We don't allow flotation devices, so you know, no kickboards,
no noodles, Jim. I'd want about four of them. Yeah.
You can use fins if you choose to, and I suppose about half the swimmers like to have a wetsuit on, so that you could argue that's a flotation device that does help with your buoyancy. But it's really important to have some level of confidence that you're going to be able to do this. Now, we do have, again, a safety apparatus in place to help swimmers if they get tired or cold or a little of both. And it's curious that the first year I did the swim in 2001, there were under 400 participants, 300 and something. And since then, you know, today, obviously, we have twice as many. We help about the same number of people. About 20 to 25 people are assisted, get pulled from the swim each year, even though her numbers have gone up dramatically, which is a curious...
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's not this linear progression. So it's, yeah.
Those people who need help or who end up getting pulled out of the race, is it like a cramp, a sudden thing, or were they just probably unprepared to go in the first place?
It can be either of those things, Jack. And often they're making that election. Usually they're making that election themselves. We have 10 bridge spotters. We've got 90 people in kayaks. Usually the swimmer will approach a kayaker and say, you know, I'm just tired. And they have an option of resting, getting a hand on the kayak and taking a break. Kayakers all have food, water. Sometimes it's just a matter of talking to somebody, you know, getting some moral support and then continuing. And they can do that multiple times. Sometimes it's just clear, we do have a guideline. They have to accomplish the first quarter mile within 45 minutes. Or, I mean, there's just no way they're going to finish. You know? And we have some safety guidelines set up like that. But it's just amazing that when you think about it, over 700 people get in the water and fewer than 20. You know, get a boat ride in to Dog Beach. That's just amazing to me.
How long does it take to get everyone in the water from the first? I take it the first people in the water are the ones who are racing or whatever like that. How long does it take to get folks into the water?
Jim, that's another great question. We'll have a couple hundred people in the water to do the water start. So their chips activate around their ankles when the horn goes off.
So they are already in the water. Oh, let's talk about the chip thing.
Yeah, sure. So we moved to chip timing, oh gosh, probably 8 years ago, which has really been helpful for us. It's a safety issue. Excuse me. It's a safety issue because you want to have the same, as we say, you want to have the same number of swim caps come out that go in.
That's the ideal situation, isn't it?
It is. And the chips really help because everyone goes across a mat at the entrance that records their chip. You know that people are essentially registered in the event. And so what happens is we have a couple hundred people that are in the water. So that horn goes off. Wesley Dustman, our starter, you know, we have a big countdown. Everybody's, you know, chanting 10, 9, 8. It's very exciting. And then off that group goes. And then you have the rest, 500 and something people, that are lined up on the south end there. We have that skinny little access point. It's just gotten skinnier. And Lee Harden and his lovely wife own that home there. And they're very gracious about letting 700 and something of their, you know, closest friends parade past their house, early on a Saturday morning in August. So we do. And so you enter across that mat and go in. And it doesn't matter when you enter. We could have somebody go in 10 minutes after the horn goes and win. Because that's perfect. Time starts. So to answer your question, well under 15 minutes. It's, 10 minutes or so.
I guess you've gotten better over the years doing that.
Oh, it's really, well, actually, it's just, yeah, it's a machine. And we have no complaints about that.
So you start on that south end of the Long Bridge, which is the I-95 bridge, coming north into town, and you end at Dog Beach.
That's right.
Which is, for those who don't know, is that the official name of that beach? Everyone calls it Dog
Beach. I've never heard it called anything else.
It's a city park, I guess.
It's not a city park, actually. That's not, it's not city. It's, I believe, it's sort of in this purgatory, I think. It's sort of county, ITD, railroad. It's somewhere in that.
No one claims it.
It's no one and everyone.
Yeah.
So the railroad has a material stage there for pilings and so on. And so, but everyone cooperates, which is what's great. City's been helpful. County's been helpful. Railroad's been very gracious about, because our space has just gotten very small there, because we have, a couple thousand spectators, 700 swimmers, and it's shoulder to shoulder when we get done with the event.
Yeah. What is that total distance?
1.76 miles. So about 2,800 meters.
You've been asked that question before, I think. Okay. So how long does that take? Do you know what the record is?
Oh, the record. Oh, I should have had that too, Jack. It's 31 or 32 minutes.
Wow. That's fast.
That's most people wouldn't be able to walk that distance at that pace, your average American. Mm-hmm. And then we have a 2.5 hour cutoff.
Right.
Now, the kind of the big goal for many people is to do it in under an hour, is what an awful lot of people, strive to do. So a fit, good swimmer, that's a great goal. Do it in an hour.
That's a strong goal. I'm surprised that the number is that low. The 31 or 32.
32. Yeah. It might be 32 and change. But and we've got a couple. What's interesting to me is that there's actually a group of people in my age group. I'm in the 60 to 65 age group.
No.
Oh
no.
Jim.
Oh, I don't believe that.
There's a group of people in my age group that, like, three or four of them who are always in the top 10 overall, which is just remarkable. And they are every year. Just it's just very consistent, and including two of the guys that most of the history of the swim took turns holding the course record.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, just very impressive.
correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't distance swimming one of those rare sports that you don't hit your stride, the peak athletes don't occur until their 30s or something like that, right? I mean, you're better at the long distance as you get older.
I'm not sure that that's true, Jack, but you can certainly be a distance swimmer for a long time and do really well. In fact, we're really hopeful that Graham Johnson comes back this year. In fact, we made it a point to mention him in the recent piece in Sandpoint Magazine. Graham was our oldest swimmer ever last summer at 87.
Go away.
Yeah.
So there's hope for us.
Yeah. We'd had a swimmer from Bonner's Ferry, Emery. That was in 2008. Emery was 86 that year, and he was our oldest swimmer previously. Graham came up from Texas to swim. He's originally from South Africa. In fact, he represented South Africa at the 1952 Helsinki Olympics. And then he gave up swimming for over 20 years, and then at age 43 became a master swimmer again, And since age 43, so for 45 years, has been competitive and has had records. And so we're really hoping I've got to call him. He's just a lovely, sweet man. And he came in and in just a tick over an hour last year.
That's amazing. Jim, where is everything at right now in terms of if one is interested in registering or if one wants more information?
Longbridgeswim.org is the best place to go. The homepage, there's a register button. Push that. Allow you to register. It's easy. In fact, it's great that we're talking today, Jim, because we have a registration price increase that'll happen on June 1st. So if you register today or tomorrow, it's less expensive.
Perfect, perfect. And also on the site, I know this for a fact because I ran it off, there are frequently asked questions, and there are 30 of them. Uh-oh. And way too many to go through the list, but certainly one can go by going to longbridgeswim.org. What are some of your most frequently asked questions? I'll let you, just off the top of your head, Jim, mention a few.
We often have people ask about, you know, people will just ask generally about how hard it is and, you know, will I be able to make it? So some of the things we talked about earlier. And so encouraging people to get into shape. Something that occurs regularly is we will have specially abled people contact us every year who want to do this swim, which is a really neat thing. It's a little off topic, Jim, not quite the question you asked me, but I'd like to bring it up.
Go for it.
We've had a number of paraplegics, at least three or four people with multiple sclerosis. Had a man with polio call me this year. In fact, he's about my age, has almost no use of his legs, and he's discovered swimming recently. So he called asking, would he be permitted to do the swim? And I said, not just permitted, we will support you in every way that we can. And so we're built to do that. We've had blind swimmers do the swim, which is just great. And we're really well equipped to help a special needs person. And that's just a great accomplishment.
How young? What's been your youngest swimmer?
5 years old.
No way.
Yeah.
5 years old.
And she did it in, I want to get this right, I think it was an hour and 50 minutes. And then by the time she was 14, I think she did it 9 years in a row, she was down to well under, I mean, she was in the 40-something minutes, so she'd knocked way over an hour off. So she was very competitive.
So when you talk about special needs swimmers, do they have, let's say, do you permit a core group of people to be with them, to swim with them?
Well, in that case, yes.
Okay.
We'll a family can swim together if they choose to.
Sure, sure.
I'll say a question that gets asked frequently is, I want to be a safety kayaker, but I want to kayak with my kid. Can't do that.
Okay.
We cannot. We tried to do that earlier, and it's just too hard with our safety mechanism set up the way it is for a particular kayaker to try to track a particular swimmer. With that many swimmers, it actually just gets everybody in trouble. Much more effective for that swimmer to just swim and allow our safety apparatus to work. Now, if a parent wants to, I'm going to swim with my 9-year-old daughter this year. So I'll swim.
Sierra.
So I'm going to swim.
Sierra's going to do it.
I'm going to swim with Sierra, you know, and we've been training. And so, you know, I'll swim along with her. That's easy to do.
Sure. But I can, and if a parent wants to, that parent could walk along the bridge waving to the child every so often.
But in fact, you bring up a great point. Yes. This is a highly unusual open water swim because it's so spectator easy. Rarely can you get the view that you get from the pedestrian long bridge. And we have, like I said, a couple thousand people that do that.
Now, I imagine you get some folks from Canada. Any other countries?
Good question. We have a huge number of Calgarians who come down, as well as people from Nelson and, you know, the West and East Kootenays, just all over. We always have at least a half a dozen countries represented. We have a family who come every year from Barcelona.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
And we had a girl from England who was the first female in the event a couple of years ago. She was, 15 or 16 years old. So we have lots of countries represented each year, usually at least half a dozen or so. And we'll have people from a dozen states every year, all over.
What's the water temperature on the 3rd of August?
It's very consistent. Mm-hmm. It's almost always 70, 71, 72 degrees. Mm-hmm. So quite comfortable.
That's not bad.
No.
That is usually or has it always been lined up with the festival at Sandpoint?
We are the first Saturday in August and mm-hmm. have been for 20 years.
Yeah.
So sometimes we overlap mm-hmm. with the festival. Other times we don't. It's just the vagaries of the calendar. But we made a commitment a long 20 years ago to be the first mm-hmm. Saturday in August so that people, particularly out of the area, could plan around that.
Yeah.
See, it would be on a weekend where the Friday is a July mm-hmm. and the Saturday would be August 1st. Then the festival would start. So it's not always. Not always.
But usually.
Yeah. Is that any issues there, any conflict or anything, or just good cooperation?
We've gone back and forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dino and I've talked about that multiple times. The consensus is that it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Generally. You'll have the occasional swimmer say, gosh, I wish they were, not overlapping because they want to be at the festival, Friday night and you're getting up early to mm-hmm. swim. But that's only very occasionally. Most people think it's a great thing that they overlap.
Can you swim with earbuds?
You may swim with earbuds.
Uh-huh. Ah. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Jim, are you going to do it this year? You're asking a lot of questions.
Oh.
I think you should.
Jack and I will go in a morning show team. No, uh-huh. I was a Boy Scout, and I had swimming merit badge, and I had a life-saving merit badge. I loved water, but I have to admit, I'll be honest, I grew up in the Midwest where water was user-friendly. I have been here 20 years, and I know many people will say it's not true, but I just don't find the water in Lake Ponderay user-friendly. It's too cold mm-hmm. for me. And I know swimming after a while, mm-hmm. you'll get yourself heated up and everything. But for me, this is a spectator sport.
And how about you, Jack?
Where should a man in his youngish mid-30s, where should he be in his training at this point if he intended to participate?
Oh, you can start right now. You've got 2 months.
Yeah.
Jack, you're a vigorous guy. I mean,
so what? Yeah, what does it take? What do you do you have any kind of training regimen or anything that you recommend people take?
Well, a couple things. If you've not been a swimmer before, I'd highly recommend that you get some help with your mechanics. Mm-hmm. Just learn to get a good stroke,
mm-hmm.
and then it's time in the water.
Yeah, time in the water.
But work on those mechanics.
Do you know? Here's a question: How many times down and I sometimes swim down and back the logs on City Beach. You know that log fence that keeps mm-hmm. the swimmers in, and I know other people do. You don't know, but we should find out how far it is, how many times you have to go down and back to roughly match the distance.
I could take a guess.
Yeah.
I would bet that it's probably 5 laps.
Okay.
If you start at like in front of Trinity
mm-hmm.
along the buoys there, and then mm-hmm. go all the way out to the end of the logs mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. back. I would guess it's 5 times or fewer.
Okay.
4 and something.
Okay.
I've got a good question gauge.
But training at Dog Beach is really the place, Jack.
Dog Beach is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because swim out and back.
There's the pilings there.
Ah, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
And actually, here's something else Long Beach Swim has done for mm-hmm. years. We pick a project every year, in addition to all of our work with swim mm-hmm. lessons. We try to do something that'll benefit swimming. Mm-hmm. So we paid to replace those those pilings a number of years ago because they were just rot. They were wood and they were rotting and falling down. Mm-hmm. Jim Woodward, actually, our new senator who has Apex Construction, donated his time. This was, oh gosh, 5-6 summers ago, and put those new, you know, steel pilings in it at no charge, which was very generous of him. So we replaced all those because you can swim on the inside of those, you know, between the causeway and those pilings, and no boat traffic's in there. So you'll see people down there working out all summer, getting ready for the Long Bridge. That's a really safe place to swim from Dog Beach.
There go, Jack. I want to ask Jim a question. Do you do different strokes? You know, I mean, do you sometimes you're doing the breaststroke, then you flip over and just sort of cruise on your back a little bit when you're out there with Sierra? Are you just going to do one kind of stroke?
We'll just do freestyle, just the crawl.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, that's what most people do. Although, we had a woman butterfly the whole thing.
No way. That's got to be the most physical, demanding stroke. You're kidding me.
Yeah, she, as they say, she flew the whole thing a number of years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. We're here with Jim Zuberbühler. He is the race director and board chair for the Long Bridge Swim. And that is coming up on August 3rd, Saturday. It's around the corner, like 2 months off. If you're interested in registering or contact information, where should one go?
longbridgeswim.org, and would really encourage people to register in the next couple of days to take advantage of that less expensive registration.
I've got a question. Can one do on-site registration?
Very good question. We do not have same-day registration. We stopped doing that 5-6 years ago because of our numbers. The last opportunity to register for the swim will be Friday evening, August 2nd, at Sandpoint High School.
Okay.
We do have opportunity, particularly for locals, to register at packet pickup, because online registration will end a few days before that. I think it's July 31st. Don't hold me to that. That's on the website. And then there will be that last opportunity to register on site Friday evening, August 2nd.
Okay. And in closing, what, you know, when we have on here people who are putting on a play, we say break a leg. What do we say to swimmers, like plug a nostril or something like that? What do we say to you? Good luck to a swimmer.
Hold your breath.
Hold your breath. Okay. Jim, thanks so much for coming, and thank you for all of the work that you do in the community. I think that no child leaving third grade should have the skill without swimming. You know, I think that's a great concept, and a lot of good you and Eric do.
Well, thanks.
And we're going to transition over to Hannah Combs. In honor of Jim, we have a song. It's not the same time of day. It's called Moonlight Swim. Elvis Presley from his movie, 1961 movie, Blue Hawaii. When we said goodbye to Jim Zuberbühler from the Long Bridge Swim, we played Elvis Presley's Moonlight Swim from Blue Hawaii. And now we are playing in the background in honor of our next guest. This is Hannah's Waltz by Acoustic Eidolon from their Barefoot CD of 2006. And our guest is Hannah Combs, the executive director at Ponderay Arts Council. Good morning, Hannah. Do you like the song? What happened to the music?
I'm sorry.
That was very sweet. Thank you.
We could talk over it for a little. It's an instrumental, but it's pretty, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Well, it fits the person we have here perfectly. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to be here again. Thank you, guys.
And we have a very specific event we want to talk about that's coming up on Saturday. Do you want to introduce it?
Sure. This Saturday, the Ponderay Arts Council is hosting our fourth annual art party at the Heartwood Center. This is our largest fundraiser of the year, and We invite people from the community to help us raise funds for our scholarship program and our education programs that we provide in the school district. So we also have some very exciting news this year. Mr. Jim Healy on my left is going to be helping us MC the evening. We are very grateful to have him there.
That's me. Yes, I remember. It's written into my calendar. Yeah, I'm quite excited about it. This is the Art Masquerade Party. And are there still tickets available?
We do still have a few available. So give me a call if you want to attend. We'll tell you a little bit more about it in a second. But if you would like tickets, please call me at 208-263-6139, and we can get those tickets for you.
And one can stop by the office as well, correct?
That's correct. And we have a new office. Yeah, please stop by, whether you're buying tickets or not. We'd love to see you. Our new office is in the old City Hall building at 110 Main Street. We're in the same building as the Music Conservatory, if you're familiar with where that is. And you enter on the Main Street side, and we're the first door on the right when you go in the building. So please stop by and say hi. We'd love to show you the new space.
Downstairs. Okay.
Yes.
How can we keep moving, Hannah? What's going on? You don't have to answer that, I guess. But this is the second move in a couple years for you. Are you getting sick of it? Do you think you're there to stay now?
That's the plan, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. If all goes according to plan, which you know how that goes.
Well, that's the goal. Art is fluid. You know, it's not like carved in one place. It's fluid, and it moves in and out and around and through the community.
Yeah. Art is fluid. Offices are better if they stay in one spot. But we are getting pretty good at moving crates around.
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of fun to, like, every 2 years, POAX in a different, a surprise location around town.
Maybe we'll do a pop-up office every now and then.
That's a very good idea.
A flash office.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a masquerade party on this Saturday, which is the day after tomorrow. And I do not have any kind of costume prepared, or mask, I guess.
Well, that's not a problem because they are not required. So just remember that. Masks are not required. We're doing a fun spin on it this year. So I'm sure we'll have some great costumes out in the audience, but if you don't have a mask, don't feel like you can't attend. You are more than welcome.
Let's talk more about the evening. It is June 1st, this Saturday, at the Hartwood Center. What time?
It begins at 5 o'clock. We do an hour and a half of, we have a fun game. We have a bar that's graciously sponsored by the 219. We have a silent auction that's full of fabulous artwork and some really great baskets that have been provided by community members and organizations. So that will all be on auction. We will have one of my favorite parts of the evening is we do a game where we supply small canvases to many of our artist members. They create a painting or drawing of anything that they envision on the canvases, and then we wrap them up like gifts, and you get to draw a number. And so you make a donation, you receive a number, and you get a surprise painting. And it's really fun because people don't know what they're going to get. Some people trade. It's just a really fun little activity that we do during that part of the evening. At about 6:30, the dinner begins, and we begin our program, and that is where we will have our scholarship recipients there to receive their scholarships, and they'll be there for you to meet them and see what we are doing with the students in the community. We'll also have some speakers who talk about our education programs, which are the other big thing that we're raising money for at this event. Those are our Kaleidoscope program, where we have volunteers teach visual arts in the 3rd through 6th grade classrooms in the school district, and our Ovations program, where we take visiting performers into the schools and they do workshops with students in the school district, as well as Missoula Children's Theater and the Nutcracker, where we have kids audition and then perform on the Panada stage and do training in either dance or theater during those projects.
And you also have appreciation awards as well.
We do. This is my other favorite part of the evening. This is our chance to thank the people who really make everything we do possible. We have an artist and a performer of the year. We recognize one of our volunteers who really goes above and beyond to give their time and energy to our programs. And we also recognize a couple of businesses who have really given their support over the years.
Teacher of the year, too, is
on
the list.
Teacher of the year. Yeah, cool. We always recognize a teacher in the county who makes a big impact in the arts for their students.
But you won't announce this until
the night of.
So yes. We can't ask who the teacher of the year is this year.
Nope, you've got to be there to find out.
Okay.
But we will share that on our website afterward.
And that's art teachers exclusively? Or
we feature teachers who incorporate the arts in their classroom. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a strictly art teacher.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Let's see, patron of the year, business of the year, volunteer of the year, performer and artist
gourmet
of the year.
Gourmet dinner from Tango Cafe.
Ooh.
Well, sure.
Not to be missed. Mm-hmm. It's so good. She's Judy at Tango is the most creative chef I know here. She does a fabulous job.
So it's at the Heartwood Center. Is that where it's been in the past?
It's not. This is a shift for us. In the past, we've been at the big building where Columbia Bank is.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So this year, we're moving it over to the Heartwood Center, which is going to work out beautifully. They have a great space there, and we're excited to try out the new space.
Okay.
Once again, this Saturday, June 1st, at the Heartwood Center is the Art Masquerade Party. Dress is casual. Masks are encouraged but not required, it says here on the a little blurb we have.
Jim, you're the MC.
Yes.
So you probably will have a mask, right?
I doubt that very much. Well, I have my beard.
Yes.
I have my beard. Uh-huh. And that's about as far as my mask will go. Mm-hmm. And again, Hannah, if one is interested in attending, where can one find out more information, get tickets?
Please call me before noon today. And I can still get you a seat. So at this point, we just have a few available. But you can call our office at 208-263-6139, and I can help you get tickets.
And once again, just overall, this is the major fundraising event for POAC, correct?
That's correct.
And the money mainly goes to?
Our scholarships and our education programs.
Perfect.
And then what's next for POAC? This is your major fundraising event. I'm thinking the next one would be the street, or what do you call it?
Ooh, yeah, we've got two big summer events.
Go ahead.
June 21st is the Art Walk.
And we are having Hannah come in, so we're sort of like jumping ahead, but that's okay.
We can do a save the date, though.
Okay.
Let's do a save a date. Let's do a save a date.
Yeah, so June 21st is the Art Walk, community favorite. And then August 10th and 11th, we have the Arts and Crafts Fair, which will be downtown again this year.
Very cool. And the big one that you got to put in your calendar right now. Well, of course, it sounds like everybody's already got it in their calendar. All but a few tickets are already snatched up, and people are working on their masks even as we speak, I'm sure. But the Art Masquerade Party is this Saturday, June the 1st, at the Heartwood Center. Anything else? Jim, are you going to do a song or dance or anything like that?
We rehearse on Friday. I do not know what is expected of me. It's one thing to be on radio where I can look the way I want to look and that sort of thing, and all I am is my voice. This is a different realm for me in terms of there will be a visual along with my voice, and so it ought to be fun.
Yes. That will be fun. Go just to see what Jim actually looks like if you don't already know.
Go to support POAC.
Okay.
That's a much better. Hannah, I want to thank you so much for coming in. You do a bang-up job.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here.
And I have been to their new office. It's right across, I would say, essentially where the old Trubies used to be, just right across the street. And you walk in and right around to the right, right through the door. I think it's more accessible, than previously, where your offices were located. And also, you have southern exposure, a lot of light coming through those windows.
There are nice windows.
Yes. Perfect. Hannah, I'll be seeing you tomorrow for sure.
Sounds good, Jim.
Once again, this is the Ponderay Arts Council Art Masquerade Party. This is this Saturday, the first day of June at Heartwood Center. And more information, if you want to get a ticket, just call.
You can call the POAC office at 208-263-6139.
Anna, thanks so much. And we're going to go into some community events now. Jack, do you want to begin that? Because I don't have another song queued up. And you could start playing in the background, Lady Be Good.
Okay.
You can start with Yappy Hour.
Yeah, okay. All right. I have in front of me the community events provided by the sandpointonline.com. And I'll just turn up Hannah's waltz here in the background at first. See you, Hannah. See you, Jim. Or Jim's coming back. Hannah is gone. Okay. We have Yappy Hour tonight at Evans Brothers Coffee. That's at 524 Church Street. A fun benefit for dogs and their owners from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Don't miss Yappy Hour at Evans Brothers tonight. It's also Story Pori Hour, P-O-U-R-Y. Staff favorites. It's this month's Story Pori Hour for kiddos from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Matchwood Brewing. Matchwood staff has compiled all of their favorites. Children's books, cookies, and milk will be provided by Matchbook. But don't forget to bring your own pajamas and pillows. That's from 4 to 5 p.m. I wonder what happens at 5, though. Then you got to wake the kids up and head home,
no,
apparently.
You just leave them there and pick them up the next morning. What the hey?
It is open mic night tonight at A&P's Bar and Grill with KC Carter from 9 p.m. to midnight. It is the Thursday night solo series. Don't miss this true showcase of Sandpoint talent from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's Joshua Walters, an original Americana sound, a twinge of country and a shot of bluegrass. Sandpoint Curry will be on site. Call 404-565-3131 to make your order. That's at the McDuff's Beer Hall. It is a non-smoking fun and games environment, but I believe it is 21 and over. The Community Sing continues, led by Christine Ray. It's at 7 p.m. in Downtown Yoga. You can show up and do a little singing. And that's what I got for Thursday night.
That gets us through. Mm-hmm. And I hope to do I said last week that I'd do a live folk show at 9 o'clock. But
yes.
I never made it. I got exhausted and collapsed. And tonight I'm going for it. But tomorrow night at the IPA, Idaho Poor Authority, at 203 Cedar Street, it's going to host live music from 5 to 7 with Beargrass.
Mm-hmm. We have, speaking of coming down to the radio station at night, Jim.
Yes.
Do you find it easier in the summer? I kind of do.
I find that I'm, it's sort of late, mm-hmm. but I'm going to be getting to a point where I pedal my bike down here.
Yeah.
And I just love the pedal home at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy coming down here at night because it's sort of, I have more of an ambiance feeling.
Yes. I agree. Yeah, I think it's nice to come down at night. And in the summertime, when I come down for my show, there's still light in the sky, actually. So,
and let me tell you that when I tune in and I hear you doing audio, Jack,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy you're a totally different personality when you're by yourself. And mm-hmm. Rather than having to share the mic with someone like me, your knowledge of local and regional music is truly impressive, and the good that you do on Tuesday and Friday nights.
You flatter me, Jim.
Well,
thank you.
You do an incredible job, I think.
Well, thank you. But you do, the folk show is another incredible show. And
it's
speaking
of
knowledge,
it's a love of mine.
Yeah,
it reminds me of when I once was.
Mm-hmm. okay, continuing with our little community events calendar here. It is. Let's see. Paint and Sip is tonight at Uncorked at the Cedar Street Bridge, 7 p.m. Reflections in Gold is the theme of the show. I don't know exactly what that means, but I guess maybe they have gold paint or maybe, you know.
Gold leaf.
Yeah. It's BYOB, so, you know, if you're going to do some sipping, you have to take care of that yourself.
Then there's also at the Beer Hall live music, The Groove Black with Brandon Watterson, Jason Stoddard, and Casey Carter of the dynamic longtime Sandpoint local trio in action at McDuff's Beer Hall at 220 Cedar Street from 6:30 to 9:30. That is tomorrow night, the last day of May. Does it get any better? That's what this blurb says. This team is up for the task to make you dance. Free and open to the public, ages 21 and older, non-smoking, fun and games environment. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall on Cedar Street, The Groove Black.
They are quite good, and I haven't seen them on the local calendar for a while, so that's exciting that they're back and in action. Firelight Nights featuring community singing. Wow, more community singing going on, this time at Matchwood Brewing, 513 Oak Street. Christine Ray will be taking her talents to Oak Street and Matchwood Brewing from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. No singing or musical experience is necessary. Just hang out by the fire and one imagines kumbaya, but I suppose there could be anything.
Or we shall overcome.
Yeah.
DJ music tomorrow night at A&P's Bar and Grill, 222 North 1st Avenue. Hosts DJ Squish starting at 9 p.m. No cover.
Then it's June.
And Saturday.
Yeah.
And it is Sandpoint Farmers Market. Shop for fresh produce, artisan goods, and enjoy live entertainment every Saturday in Farm and Park from 9 to one.
Did you go last week?
No, I did not. I was busy making my potluck dish for an event on Sunday, so I did not get there.
I made it. Well, I went to it, but there's, you know, it's still early in the season. It's more of a social event than a...
And this is where you get seedlings and your plants, and there are some lettuce is coming in, some early crops.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff there. It's just not what I was in the market for. I usually go for the
tomatoes the size of softballs, right, and stuff like that.
I go for the finished product, not the
patience. Yeah, Jack, patience.
It's coming. Oh, but there's somebody down there selling waffles that smelled amazing.
Oh gosh, that's so unfair. And then that's also I don't know if they still have that one booth where the popcorn is being whoa.
Yeah,
you know, you just want to stick around and stick your face in it. Also on Saturday is the museum, the Bonner County History Museum, first free Saturday of the month from 10 to 2. Everyone is invited to the museum free of charge, and that's 611 South Ella.
Sandpoint Sojourn with Pancakes. Greasy Fingers Bikes and Repair will host a one-night bicycle trip as part of the Adventure Cycling Association's Bike Travel Weekend. That is the first and the second. I guess the overnight is on the first and come back on the second for pancakes, one assumes, at Greasy Fingers. 208-255-4496.
Then there's the Basin Trail Festival. Everyone is invited to the Basin Trail Festival from 9 to 4 at the Schweitzer Mountain Road Roundabout. There will be trail work, a ride, and a kickoff party for the Lower Basin Trail System. Come help build and maintain trail, or just ride. Demo bikes are available from 10 to 3, and a barbecue will be served starting at 11. Sponsored by the Ponderay Peddlers. Free and open to the public. If you want more information, call 208-304-6042.
The annual Sand Creek Paddlers Challenge. I don't know if this is the first annual or if this has happened before, but a fun and exciting event for families and serious racers alike. Sandpoint Parks and Recreation hosts the annual Sand Creek Paddlers Challenge. You can pre-register online or register on site from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. at the City Beach Pavilion. There is a pre-race meeting that you'll want to attend at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday the 1st. The race begins at 10 a.m. It's a four-mile paddle up and back on Sand Creek and has three separate divisions. Two race divisions, solo and tandem, a recreation division for those who don't want to leave awake and a SUP, stand-up paddleboard division.
SUP. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Trophies for first place in each division and random drawings for prizes. This event has grown each year, so it is not the first year and is quickly becoming a don't-miss event that would be fun to at least watch as they go under.
I think so.
So that it says there's a double. I was a pretty good canoer in my day, but if they're allowed to use the double kayak, that's faster than a canoe, I would think. So.
Well, we all were better in our day. but we do want to thank Jim Zuberbühler for stopping by from the Long Bridge Swim. More information at longbridgeswim.org. The event is going to take place August 3rd. And then we want to thank Hannah Combs for stopping by from POAC to remind us that on June 1st, this Saturday at the Heartwood Center at 5 o'clock, the Art Masquerade Party. Lots of fun things and activities happening. Thank you, Jack, for a good morning.
And thank you, Jim. And don't miss Jim at the Masquerade Ball on Saturday night. Looking forward to hearing how that goes.
I am, too.
Okay, stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.